Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Sergey Bobomka. Ground
beef. Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot. I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot. You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Talk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Cheese.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Got a big, big show ahead of you here. The Heat, to their credit, did not roll over and die against a better Cleveland team. I mean, it's just a better Cleveland team.
Yes.
And the Miami Heat, I mean, they pushed them last night. They pushed them. Yeah, you legitimately felt like they had a chance there at the end. Donovan Mitchell doesn't give you a chance. When you felt like you had a chance.
Yes, at least they kept it close.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't
it?
Yep. Yeah. They did cover.
They covered. I didn't bet it, though. I hate it.
I got Khalil Ware first bucket. If you were listening to this show yesterday, it was like the 5 o'clock hour. And I'm looking at ridiculous bets. And I go, Khalil Ware first bucket is plus 900. And I was like, you know what? He had a rough game one. They want to get him involved quickly and early so that he doesn't just, you know, mentally eject from the game. And I think Cleveland came down and had a chance, right, to score first and missed?
They did. They won the tip. And Clower actually got the first rebound, too. So immediately engaged in the game.
Right. And then they bring it down. They give him a little alley-oop. And I cash a ticket for plus 900, which was absolutely ridiculous. Yesterday, I cashed a Matt Mervis anytime home run ticket, a three-leg parlay on the Marlins game with Sandy over 3.5 Ks and a Mervis hit and a Wagaman hit. And then I cash in the first 30 seconds of the Heat game, Khalil Ware, first bucket at plus 900. It was just a ridiculous day of gambling for me. So,
I'm on a heater. I'm on a colder.
I know you had Panthers Lightning game one, the under. That was unfortunate.
Terrible. Last night.
Oh, you had Bam and Tyler.
And Tyler goes for 33. Bam has a half a point.
That was rough. I'll get to it later in the show because Ira Winderman answers a question about Bam Adebayo, but I'll get to it later in the show. The NFL draft is tonight. Crowder is in Green Bay as we speak. I think this is a hugely consequential draft for the Miami Dolphins.
That is.
Not because I think it's like the Tua draft where, you know, you're getting a quarterback and it's a game changer. I think the Dolphins are as close to being a very good playoff team as they are from everything crumbling apart and being an epic disaster, because they've lost a ton of players. We were talking about it yesterday. Like, they really have lost a ton of players. I'm higher on the roster than anyone else is, but admittedly, I don't know anything about anything, but I'm higher on the roster than anyone else is. But I think this draft, they really have to find guys who can make an impact year one.
Oh yeah. We got to find stars, defensive stars is what we really have to find. Like, even with the Christian Wilkins, those guys, like, we have to go find one of those impact off the bat players that could come in and start game one on a cheap contract, because we paid everybody else in the world already. Waddle, Tyreek, and Tua are taking up 60% of the salary cap.
Those Jalen, until you get rid of them.
Until you get rid of them. Like, we have to find cheap, good players. It is big. And I don't know if anybody's on the hot seat. Somebody asked me that yesterday. Is Chris Greer, McDaniel on the hot seat? I was like, McDaniel just got an extension. I don't know if Chris Greer, if they just replace Chris, if this doesn't go well, but McDaniel's going to be here for a couple years.
I disagree. I think they both are gone if they don't make the playoffs this year. And I think it might even be more than just making the playoffs. Year four, and we're fiddling around again. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know if we're coming or going. And again, I'm not backtracking. I feel like they're closer than most people are, but I don't think there's any chance of a reprieve for McDaniel or Greer if this season goes awry. Any chance? Because why? I mean, we've given you everything you've wanted, anything you've asked for. Stephen Ross has given them whatever has been important to Mike McDaniel. Seemingly, he has been given, no one can guarantee a quarterback's health for 17 games a season, but I don't think there's much room for error with McDaniel or Greer. I think this is do or die.
And the offense has to be explosive.
Yes. Yeah.
Because to speak about, we're about to add a young corner and we're trying to put it together. We re-signed Kader Kohu and KJ Britt. We're not going to choke people out this season.
No, McDaniel's this
offensive genius. We saw a 70-point game. Now we're sneaking into the low 20s, maybe. That has to change.
How is Green Bay? Is it a who's who of the NFL?
No. It's a lot of nice, heavyset humans.
Heavyset, cheese-eating humans.
Yeah. They're very nice. Everybody speaks to you. They hold the door. They're nice people. But, yeah, I don't think all the media outlets poured their A-team to Green Bay this week.
Have you had a lot of cheese?
Actually, no, not really. Because Italian's not real cheesy.
Oh, you can get cheese on top of just about anything there. And you got to go heavy on the Parmesan here in Green Bay. Heavy on the Parmesan.
No, we ate downtown. And now it's, we leave there at, we had at 8:30 movie, so we left at like 8, and it was like the popping downtown. Everything closed at 11. There was maybe 25 people walking around downtown.
Oh, that's my kind of city.
it was weird.
Need a lot of hustle and bustle. I need about 25 people.
Man, it looked like I Am Legend out there.
What movie did you see?
Sinners.
Oh, that's the movie you guys were talking about.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan. It's good.
Everyone says it's really good. Is it a thriller?
It's a thriller. It's not a horror at all. Because they showed a little vampire girl in the credit, the teasers, but it's not like it's not a horror. It's more of like you're gonna hate it because it's like a think piece almost, but it's very good. Like, it's a thrilling think piece. It makes you
like Get Out?
Yes. Very much like
that. I love that movie.
So you'll like this because it's raised, it's Jim Crow South. So it's there's vampires, but it's in the what they call the Delta South back in the 40s or whatever. So like it's a cool dynamic, man. I'm not gonna lie.
It's a vampire movie.
It's not. There's vampires in it, but it's not a vampire movie. I don't know how to describe it.
I don't know if I'm in on that. That's not my wheelhouse.
It's like Die Hard. It's not a Christmas movie, but it's shot on Christmas. You know, there's
but Christmas happens in real life. Like vampires, you really have to suspend your belief. Like vampires.
It's not Count Dracula vampires. They're just like human.
Count Chocula?
More like Count Chocula. You hit it on the head. It's a good movie, though. I would recommend to see it. You know, I'm not a big recommend guy. I'd recommend to go see Sinners.
Solana yesterday on Twitter vehemently defended Nikola Jovic after that game. And my point, because Solana and I had a little back and forth on Twitter, my point was not that Nikola Jovic blew the game, because I don't think anyone believes that. He had a terrible 2 3-point shots that I can recall that were air balls, and one errant pass that if it was a good pass, we may be talking about a different outcome today. So all I was saying to you, Solana, on Twitter was weird time to stand for Jovic. He had an awful end of game.
And what I would say to you, Hawk, was that people were claiming that Niko Jovic blew the game, that the Heat lost the game only because Niko Jovic went 1 of 8 from 3 and that he was a bum, which is why I tweeted out, if you're solely blaming Niko Jovic on that loss, I don't think you're actually watching these games.
Gotcha.
But you're right. Those 2 turnovers in the final 4 minutes of play, awful. The air ball 3 was brutal, even though 2-on-1 fast break, Andrew Wiggins, Davion Mitchell, maybe it shouldn't end up in Niko Jovic's hand trailing for a 3. And he did miss the corner 3, which was the biggest shot of the game. He missed it. He was 1 of 8. It was a dreadful ending to the game for him. And after you and I had our back and forth, the fact that he went on FanDuel Sports Network and told reporters in the locker room that he puts the loss on himself, it kind of undercut my argument, which is why I stopped responding to you.
I actually saved the Will Manso tweet. Yeah. So when Solana started arguing with me that it's not Jovic's fault, I was going to say, okay, so you disagree with Jovic himself, who took the blame for the defeat. But I really don't. I don't blame him. I would start way higher up than that with Bam. I would go, hey, you got a max guy who needs to impose his will and score some points. And but again, I'll read you what Ira wrote later, because Ira takes a little bit of the onus off Bam as well.
I do, too. I really do, too.
With Jovic, was it the same thing, Khalil game 1? Like, just not ready for this intensity of a basketball game?
He looked really good. Like, they needed him out there. Like, not only do I not blame him for the loss, they're probably not in it the way that they are without him. Mm-hmm. But he still hadn't played in a long time, and it showed at the end. I would put that more on Spo than I would on Jovic for having a guy out there that, you know, maybe still needed to get his timing and his footing.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We'll talk about it because Jim Larrañaga is going to join us. Coach L is in L.A. You know, his son is an assistant coach with the Clippers, and they've got the Nuggets tonight, Game 3. That's a great series. So Coach L will join us from Los Angeles. We'll have to find out if he's gone to In-N-Out Burger. Well, what's the point of going out to L.A. if you're not going to hit In-N-Out Burger?
That's a no.
You don't think he's gone?
No. He's not a big fast food guy, so there's no way he's going to a city to go to a fast food place.
Well, he's going there to see his son and support his son, but if you're in LA, you have to go to In-N-Out Burger only because they don't have it here.
You tell me that everywhere I go. You have to go here. I don't have to go.
You sure do. Like when California Pizza Kitchen was only in California, you had to go to it if you were out in California. Now you can get it anywhere. If In-N-Out Burger opens everywhere, well, then you don't have to go there when you're in L.A. But if you're in L.A., you have to go to In-N-Out Burger. It would be California so great if we bring him up for the next segment and he is eating an In-N-Out burger. That would be delightful.
He said he doesn't enjoy eating, which is weird. He says, like, I'm not a big eater. I don't enjoy eating like that. Like, what?
Jim Larinaga will join us. And Doug Plagans will join us today. We've got boots on the ground again. We've got Jim Larinaga out in L.A. We've got Doug Plagans in Tampa for the Lightning Panthers game two, which hopefully is as easy as it was game one. I don't think it will be. And we've got Omar Kelly talk a little NFL draft with us. People complained yesterday that we didn't talk enough draft. So we have stationed Crowder in Green Bay, and mm-hmm. we will bring on Omar Kelly, and we will talk with Omar about his late night Slurpee run the other week, which is really the only reason that I want to talk to him. We have another 4-pack of tickets for the Marlins to give away. Marlins Star Wars Day at Lone Depot Park is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. And it's Marlins A's that day. We've got a 4-pack of tickets to give away. We will do that before 6 o'clock. Let's get headlines. Start out the show with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Coach L's had a corn dog, though. I'd be willing to bet my life on it. Coach L's had a corn dog.
Well, because I said, like, growing up in Brooklyn, the World's Fair would come, and he goes and gets a corn dog. I think you argued against it, Crowder, that a corn dog was more of a Southern thing or something along those lines. But
well, yeah, because cornbread.
Cornbread, right.
Yeah, the cornbread outside. Cornbread is Southern.
I don't know if cornbread is Southern. It's definitely a part of barbecue, which tends to be more Southern. But I don't know if cornbread, just like you can blanket the statement, cornbread is Southern. People eat cornbread everywhere.
No. Not that they don't nowadays, because in Boston Market, in its heyday, you could get that, you know, on every street corner. But I think the origins of cornbread are from the South.
There we go.
Greens and cornbread.
Huh? You seen life?
You going to eat your cornbread?
And that's his cornbread. Tell him go to hell, Claude.
Nah, I don't think you guys are right. I think cornbread predates the United States. I think it's like Native Americans that were eating cornbread. So I genuinely don't believe it's...
How do you think Cedric Maxwell, friend of the show, got the nickname cornbread?
Solana.
Mm-hmm.
It predates the United States
mm-hmm.
in... The United States?
Well, the United States has only been around since 1776. I mean, we're talking about centuries, thousands of years of Native Americans living on these lands eating cornbread.
Word salad. That's all you like to do.
We're talking thousands of years.
Why is Cornbread Maxwell nicknamed Cornbread? Checking Google here. Cedric Maxwell's nickname, Cornbread. And remember, Jim Larinaga's son used to be an assistant with the Celtics. He probably knows cornbread as well as we do. Cornbread used to come on the show all the time.
Yeah.
Cedric Maxwell's nickname, Cornbread, originates from the movie Cornbread, Earl, and Me, where Jamal Wilkes portrayed a character who Maxwell resembled. A teammate, Melvin Watkins, started calling him Cornbread after seeing the film.
Southern influence, Solana.
Okay.
I'm guessing
I don't think you're
this
right.
is a different Jamal Wilkes that I grew up watching on the Lakers, Silk Wilkes. This can't be the same Jamal Wilkes who was starring in Westerns, was it? Doesn't add it. We need to get to Jim Larinaga as soon as possible. So let's get headlines, and then we'll have Jim Larinaga answer all our questions.
So the Heat did lose last night.
Is he there, by the way?
He is. Coach L is connected. I don't know.
Bring him up real quick. You're on the air, Coach.
I don't know are you there?
You got me.
Yeah. You there?
I'm here.
Any
I don't even know what a corn dog is, by the way.
Okay. Wow.
What?
Mind blown. But
and when Crowder said I don't go fast foods, I ate at Chipotle yesterday, and then we ordered pizza last night. So
I mean, Crowder doesn't Chipotle's know you. I know you.
That's fast. Okay, casual. But
Jamal Wilkes is the former UCLA and Lakers, actually Golden State Warriors first player who was in that movie, and Cornbread Maxwell and Melvin Watkins were college teammates at UNC Charlotte when they made it to the national finals and lost. No, they made it to the Final Four and lost to Al McGuire and Marquette in a very controversial ending. Baseball passed the length of the court that Marquette scored on when they were down one. So
I knew
that was Al McGuire's national championship.
I knew he was going to have a great story about this because he's got a great story about everything. All right, we're going to put you back on ice. We're going to finish headlines.
Okay, guys.
And then we're going to be back.
I'm here waiting.
All right, we appreciate it.
He has a dearth of knowledge.
Doesn't know what a corn dog is.
That just doesn't seem possible to me, man.
Bring him back up. No, I'm teasing. Let's get through headlines and we'll ask him. We'll ask him in the next
segment. So the Heat did lose yesterday. And, Hawk, I know you want to get into it a little bit later, but just a couple statistics here. The Heat talked all about winning the 50-50 balls and the rebounding battle and limiting turnovers and basically winning within the margins, right? They did all that, and they still lost by 9 points. The Cleveland Cavaliers.
They couldn't hit a three.
No. They hit threes pretty well, 36%.
Wasn't Jovic like 1 of 8 from three?
Jovic was 1 of 8, yes.
And Bam was like 1 of 5?
Bam shot 6 shots in the first half. 5 of them were threes, which is just beyond me. I don't understand how that right. happens.
Well, there's 13 misses already and one make.
But
did they shoot well from three? I felt like they didn't.
They didn't shoot. No. They didn't shoot great, but they didn't shoot poorly from three, 36%.
I mean, 16 of 45.
16 of 45, Solana.
Guys, if you're taking 45 threes and you're making above 35%, that is a very good percentage from three. That should be good enough to beat anybody in the NBA. The problem is the Cleveland Cavaliers shot 48% from three and shot 45%.
I feel like Donovan Mitchell had 16 threes in the final 5 minutes.
He's good, man. He's legit.
That he is.
22 of 45, and they were 21 of 23 from the line.
They made a record 11 three-pointers in the second quarter, which is where they won the game. That's where the Heat got into that 19-point hole. Miami won the third and fourth quarters. Cleveland just blew the game open in the second. Donovan Mitchell scored 12 points of Cleveland's 20 down the final 4 minutes of the game when he checked back in when it was a two-point game. He took over. Degree of difficulty of all the shots were insane. He is legit nasty. He's legit.
That's the player we're missing. That guy that comes in the fourth quarter, single digits, and just says, watch this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Should have had him here, too. Sucks. Anyways, game 3, Saturday, 1 p.m. at the Kaseya Center. Series doesn't begin until a road team wins. So, series basically 0-0 at this point.
Pretty much even.
That ain't you to coach a team. We didn't even play 2 games, fellas.
Huh? Till you lose a road game or a home game, series hasn't even begun yet.
That's true.
Tonight, Knicks are at the Pistons. Series tied 1-1, 7 p.m. Thunder at the Grizzlies. Thunder up 2-0 in that series. That's at 9:30. And then I think the series everybody is absolutely loving through 2 games right now. Game 3, Clippers hosting the Nuggets, tied at 1-1. I told you guys yesterday that series has been a knife fight, literally.
Yep. Well, not literally.
Correct. Not literally. I
mean, that's a point where you would say figuratively, not literally, because literally would mean it's an actual knife fight, which I don't think is allowed under the rules of the current CBA.
I don't know, man. This Adam Silver seems to just let anybody do whatever they want. But, Hawk, have you seen Jokic's brothers in the crowd? Because they could literally be holding knives.
It's possible. It's possible.
They got something in their sock.
Be careful out there, coach. If it's a literal knife fight, be careful.
I know we don't talk too much about hockey outside of the Florida Panthers on this show, but I'm here to tell you guys, I watched the ending of Dallas Colorado last night, and I am all in on the NHL. I'm upset at myself for not being a bigger hockey fan for the previous 30 years of my life. That was some of the most riveting sports action I've ever seen. Colorado has a 4-minute power play to start overtime. Dallas is able to to withstand it, and then they steal game three. It was effing awesome yesterday.
Mm. All right.
Panthers tonight versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. Game two, 6:30 p.m. start time. That's your puck drop.
All right.
Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Marlins are off today. They're in Seattle tomorrow. They're out on the West Coast. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida. That is your weather.
Holy mackerel, do we have a lot to talk about with Coach Jim Larrañaga, and he will join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You going to eat that cornbread?
Hawk and Crowder.
Reminder, 2AM's Whiskey, Stars, and Cigars, presented by Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, is back, and it is Friday, May 9th at Tabacon at Plantation Walk. You can come on out, talk sports, have a cigar with all of us from the 560 QAM staff. I was with Leroy Horde this morning. He asked me, hey, is Crowder coming to this Whiskey, Stars, and Cigars? I said, this one he's got circled on the calendar.
May 9th.
On the last one, it kept getting postponed because of hurricanes. Yeah, but he will be at this one. Again, you come out, you enjoy whiskey and a cigar from Drew Estate. It is free, but space is limited, so if you want to join us out there, you have to RSVP at WQAM.com to reserve your spot, and then you'll get all the info when we email you the info. But it's Whiskey, Stars, and Cigars at Tabacon at Plantation Walk, presented by Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, your 2024 Dealer of the Year, 22 acres of new and pre-owned Chevys, Cadillacs, and Buicks, and online at edmorsesawgrass.com. Jim Larrañaga, he was the head coach for the UM men's basketball team for many, many years, friend of the program. He joins us on Thursdays to talk hoops. I mentioned he's in Los Angeles. His son Jay is an assistant coach with the Clippers. You've got Clippers and Nuggets tonight in L.A. That is game three of that series. And Coach L is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We have a lot to cover. I want to start with the Heat game, though, Coach. Before we get into the nonsense, I want to start with the Heat game. Because I said, you know, the Heat, and I'm sure you've experienced this, the team could have rolled over and died based on what happened in game one. And they came out, they didn't get the dub last night, but they pushed a much better Cleveland team, I think a much better Cleveland team, to the brink. I thought it was a pretty decent performance by the Miami Heat last night. Did you?
Oh, I thought they put themselves in great position to win that game. That performance by the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second quarter was spectacular. The shot making, we all know Max Strus. You all know what he did when he was with the Heat. And I mean, he was on fire. He scored like 14 points on 8 shots. And then the fourth quarter, when Donovan Mitchell went off at the end, incredible offensive performance. And the Heat were right there. They were down. Solana, you said too, I remember when it was 4, like 110, 106, or 106, 102. But in the fourth quarter, they were down 13 to start the quarter, down 4 and fighting to take the lead. And then Donovan Mitchell stepped up like a great player can do, and he closed the door. But as you guys all said, look, you haven't won one on the road. The series is just getting started.
But, Coach, you can't tell your team that after losing 2 games. You can't say we haven't played a game yet.
Oh, no. When Solana said that, I said, well, good luck convincing your team of that.
Hey, Coach, just watching the game, we know they have those towers down there. We talked about it last week. Do you go at them? Do you go at Allen and at Mobley and try to get him in foul trouble? Because we're not attacking the rim, and I know why. I'd be scared to go in there, too.
Well, they're great shot blockers. There's no question about that. Allen is sensational. You know, I'd like to see Bam try to get them in foul trouble, not just shoot threes, but drive the ball to the basket. One of the things about a shot blocker, and I coached one of the best in the history of college basketball in Ralph Sampson, and one of the things about it is when you attack them as the primary defender, It's much different than when they're a secondary defender. When someone else is driving the ball to the basket, they can come over and help and block the shot very emphatically, very effectively. But when their own man is attacking them, then they have to defend like a guard. They got to get in a stance. They got to move their feet. And I'd like to see remember, I know a couple of weeks ago I told you when LeBron and the Heat were going against OKC, he had a mismatch no matter who guarded him. And when Kendrick Perkins was guarding him, he just took him on the perimeter and drove him to the basket and got him in foul trouble. You know, maybe if Bam could do that, that could really change the course of the series.
But, Coach, speaking to that, how do you balance somebody like Bam? Because everybody's looking at the box score after the game and yelling, he needs to score more points. And it's ridiculous he's not attempting field goals underneath the rim. But you want to win the rebounding battle. He's as important to that as anybody. And you want to keep Tyler Hero from being picked on defensively. He's as important to that as anybody on the defensive end. So maybe the stuff he's doing isn't showing up on the box score, but he's still helping you win.
Yeah, but he's showing up on the box score because he had not only 14 rebounds, but he had 8 or 9 assists.
Right.
So he's handling the ball. When you say he didn't score, if you add, I don't know how many points that assist led to, but let's say they were just all two-pointers. They weren't, but let's say they were. And he had, was it 8 or 9, Solana? I think it was nine.
Yeah, nine assists.
9 assists. So let's say that's 18 points he contributed to. Yeah, he didn't score it himself, but what's the difference? It's still the Miami Heat scoring. So, you know, I love his all-around game that he can get assists and rebounds and steals and block shots and can still score double figures. Would we like to see him, you know, get into 20 or more? Yeah, that'd be great. But what I'd really like to see him do is get those other bigs in foul trouble. Because every coach's nightmare is to have your best player sitting on the bench, you know, for a long period of time because they're in foul trouble.
So you've been a coach a very long time. Through those two games, you see something, you can identify something. Eric Spoelstra on the flight home can identify enough that he can figure out, yes, we can take game 3 and we could take game 4 in Miami.
You know, it's interesting. My son, you know, I'm out here in L.A. staying with my son in Marina Del Rey, and we were watching the game last night. And one of the points that we both made that we agree with is in basketball, there's several ways to defend. But one of the most impactful ways for any team is to just pressure the man with the ball. Do not allow that to be easy and kind of wear the opponent down, especially if it's your bench. Then you know your subs are going to come in and they're not going to play 35 minutes. They might play 18, 20 minutes, come in and put tremendous pressure on the opponent. Deny the best scorers the ball. Make it hard for a Steph Curry to catch it or Donovan Mitchell to catch it. Make them work just to catch the ball and handle the ball. And the more you do that, actually, the more times their teammates will turn them down. It's like, it's too hard to throw it to him. Right? And they'll go in a different direction. But, if the Miami Heat are able to do that to the Cavaliers, you know, maybe that would be the difference in a possession or two.
And to that point, because we've talked about, you know, players. You thought you said Shane Larkin at one point where you're just like, hey, give the ball to Shane. Y'all get out the way. He's about to win the game. What about, like, what Donovan and Steph do? Like, there was a shot Steph Curry hit the other night that should not have been a shot. He's falling out of bounds, sideways, nothing but net. Could you just double team those guys and say, hey, I'm going to let somebody else beat me? Because when they become Superman, can you coach them out of Superman?
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think trapping or blitzing ball screens involving him, the great thing about him, he's so unselfish. He's not going to force up the shot. He's going to hit the open man. But in Golden State's category, they're playing basically 5 out with all perimeter players. So they get the ball back to him. You double team him. He gives it up. He's so good moving without the basketball. He gets it back. Donovan Mitchell, last night, he was totally unselfish. He's sharing the ball. But in the fourth quarter, man, the guy was sensational. And the shot making of Cleveland, They're at home. They're comfortable. They're confident. They have a 1-0 lead. They're not feeling the pressure yet. Until the Heat beat them and send a message, look, we're in this for the long haul. We beat you at home. If we can get one win in game three on Saturday, okay, that changes game four then. Now the Miami Heat think, hey, we've got one. Let's get a second. And then all of a sudden Cleveland is thinking, wait a minute. No, this is not, you know, a sweep. This is going to be a battle right to the bitter end.
You mentioned Superman. You're there in Los Angeles. You and I were talking before the show started today about Kawhi, because you were saying, I mean, look at the Nuggets. You've got Jokic and you've got Murray. And I said, Kawhi the other night made those guys look like ordinary players. That's how good he was. What do we do with Kawhi? Because we forget sometimes, at least I do, because he misses a lot of games. We forget just how dominant he is.
Yeah, these teams and these players are at such a high level of skill and competitiveness. You know, some players are really competitive. They just can't match it with skill. Some guys are super skilled, but they just don't have the athletic ability or the competitive spirit to do it every single night. But when it comes to Kawhi and James Harden, when it comes to Jokic and Murray, these guys are awesome. They're just tremendous basketball players in every single category of the game.
And, Coach, I want to ask about the Rockets-Warriors because, Udoku is getting some backlash because they got chippy. There was, like, six texts, flagrant fouls. Like, they went to fighting. They flat out, the benches emptied. From a coaching standpoint, he kind of embraced it. He was like, we've seen over the last 2 years, like, this is in our favor. Like, he didn't go against it and say my players shouldn't do it. As a coach, like, are there games when you're like, okay, it needs to get a little chippy? I don't know if you tell your players to go, you know, get physical or whatever, but just, hey, we need a little more emotion out of you guys.
Well, I think there's definitely some inner motivation, intrinsic kind of stuff. Because social media creates it. And then sports writers fall into the category of, like us, we just start talking about it. And when Steph Curry had the game that he did in game one, and Houston is the favored team, they're supposed to win, those guys become very angry and defensive, and they want to take it out. The way they defended the Golden State Warriors to start the game was absolutely I don't think you can play any harder. It was like watching the Houston Cougars in the Final Four defending. Just the intensity level is absolutely incredible, and that's what the Houston Rockets did. And they did it for 48 minutes. They were awesome. Now, can they do it on the road and not get called for fouls? Because the officials have a big role in this series.
Now, let's get to the important stuff, Coach. You're in Los Angeles. Have you gone to In-N-Out Burger?
You know, I've heard of an In-N-Out Burger. I never had a corn dog. I've never had an In-N-Out Burger.
You know, I have to tell you, you shocked us a couple weeks ago.
You guys have very different eating styles than me.
No, wait. Well, you shocked us a couple weeks ago when you said you've never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mentioned last week that I've never had a corn dog, and Solana was as shocked as I was with your peanut butter and jelly. You've never had a corn dog. I'm okay with that. I've never had one. But you've never had In-N-Out Burger?
Never had an In-N-Out Burger.
That's ridiculous.
He's upset. Look, I eat at the same places. I'm a man of convenience. So I'll choose McDonald's. And what am I? Hey, Hawk, what am I going to eat at McDonald's?
Number one.
Okay. Now you go to Burger King. You know what I'm having at Burger King?
Number one.
Right, so I don't like variety. I like to eat simply. You know, I don't want it.
Unbelievable. So you've never had a corn dog, though? You've never gone to like never the South dog. Florida Fair and had a corn dog?
No. I haven't.
Doesn't seem possible.
That's all there is to it. Hey, before I get off now, I want to ask you guys. Carter, you're in Green Bay
yes,
for the
sir.
Draft tonight?
Yep.
Who's going number one, baby?
Cam Ward.
Let's all throw up the U.
It's all about the U.
Let's all throw up the U. Go ahead, Crowder.
I got you. I'll give y'all one.
There we go.
They're not supposed to come out and just flat out say
it. How about his move to Miami? One season.
Amazing.
One season. And look where he is tonight.
And, Coach, I've heard that a lot, but Cam Ward's a special player. That shouldn't be a thought of what all these kids should do, because a lot of kids would transfer and get benched.
Yeah, but let me tell you something about him. Every word I've heard about him and from your boy Joe Zagacki, that he's not only a great player, he's a great leader. He's a great individual ambassador for the University of Miami, not only our football program, but for the entire university. He's very friendly. He's very articulate. He's very engaging with the community. He's a great teammate. I think one of the greatest compliments you can pay an athlete is he's a great teammate. People like playing with him. You know, the Bill Russell, he just made everybody on the team better. Everybody loved playing with Bill Russell. You know, you can't say that about all great players. But with Cam Ward at the University of Miami in one season, he really made a name for himself. He's an icon now.
And I've heard.
Crowder, were you a great teammate?
Yeah, I was a great teammate. I'll make all the with you. I'll make all the tackles you miss. No, I'm hearing that Cam is such a great interview and human that it's making Shedeur Sanders look bad, because they have to compare the two top quarterbacks, and they're looking at Cam like, this dude is a star. And Shedeur is a good kid, but Cam is on a different level.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with his future earnings, because who's not going to want him to endorse their product? Yeah, you know, right. Look at what Michael Jordan did with his reputation. You know, I mean, I worked the Michael Jordan fantasy camp. He had all the corporate sponsors at the camp. People from McDonald's and Hanes and Gatorade and all the different sponsors that he had, their corporate world wanted to just rub shoulders with him because he was so engaging, and he could get out on the court and play one-on-one with these guys. It was fantastic. I think Cam Ward is in for as long as he can stay healthy. Well, it's hard staying healthy, but as long as he can stay healthy, I think he's on his way to you know, a sensational NFL career.
And, Coach, tell Hawk I was a good teammate. I used to host every Thursday night beer and chicken night at my house. All the Michelob Ultra and chicken thighs you can eat. Isn't that a great teammate?
We're 19.
That shows some leadership. Were you captain?
19.
Yeah, Coach.
Were you a captain?
Yes, sir. Captain of the defense. Went out there.
Yeah, that's good leadership.
He was the assistant to the assistant regional manager. All right, we'll see you, Coach. Enjoy Los Angeles. Good luck to your son and the Clippers tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
There you go. Okay, guys.
Jim Larinaga. Always enjoy talking with him on Thursdays.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Mitchell Trubisky, if you are listening, would you like to meet me at Flanagan's tonight on Federal Highway in Boca?
Hawk and Crowder.